I just needed time alone with my own thoughts. Got treasures in my mind, but couldn't open up my own vault. That's not how it flows. That doesn't matter. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebeno.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. All right. How was the enthusiasm in that one? Yeah? No? All right. Okay. Tip your weight staffs. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory on this day, November 16, 2025. You realize we are halfway through the month of November and December's next, and we are 2026. Jesus, damn. And whatever, I'm saying, time goes by, an eye for an eye. All right, today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. All right, shout out to all you listeners, all you beautiful selves, and apply your beautiful selves. It's a tradition on this podcast where I start the show acknowledging you listeners and asking you to apply yourselves. Because if you're my target audience, you're likely the kind of person who'll applaud everyone except their own selves. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm saying I can relate. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Yeah, welcome. And that also includes those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Yeah. So welcome. Assuming and if you're still choosing to stick around, here's hoping I say something in this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. All right. Just to get you started, shutuppodcast.com is the website. Shutuppodcast.com is the website. This is to help you figure out, point out the website, but also to help you identify which Shut Up Podcast podcast I am. And Shut Up Podcast 411 at gmail.com. And is it old fashioned to tell people your email address? Is that gone now? Is that some old people thing? Should I be telling you about my Snapchat? And what are the kids doing now? Who the fuck cares? You're not a kid. All right. That's the email address. In today's episode titled 307, to be determined, I'm still trying to figure it out, but I'll be talking about why I nearly didn't publish episode 306. But before I do that, we're going to do some quotes and some randomness. Jesus Christ. And before we start, if at any point in this podcast you find yourself saying, man, I was a stupid topic, I hate his voice, or I hate the way he walks, the way he talks, well, just a reminder that it's my goddamn podcast. You know, I was thinking about maybe I should flip it on, you know, but if you have something positive to say too, it's my goddamn podcast. But it's also a reminder for myself too. It's my goddamn podcast, so do what you like. On that note, all right, quotes and randomness. Just like the title says, I'll be reading to you some quotes. I guess not. Okay, no quote for today. I'll tell you what. I'll read, I'm laughing because the quote I was going to read is no longer available on Reddit. preparedness. You know, and I had to do something about being an introvert, and I forget what the message was. So instead, I'm going to read the whole that verse from Kanye West's Power track, and it's relevant to today's topic. Somewhat, I'll explain. But the full verse, or the part that's relevant, is the part that I like is I just needed time alone with my own thoughts. Got treasures in my mind, but couldn't open up my own vault. My childlike creativity, purity, and honesty is honestly being crowded by these grown thoughts. Jesus. Reality is catching up with me, taking my inner child. I'm fighting for custody. Come on. With these responsibilities that they entrusted me as I look down at my diamond encrusted piece. Now, at the barbershop, we were just talking about rappers with bodies of works that lasted. It wasn't a debate, but a barbershop conversation about how, well, one person had the audacity to bring up that if Biggie Small is so revered after two albums or three albums, whatever, and compared to a Jay-Z who's got a full body of work. Whatever, I'm going slightly off top. But point is, then at some point, just listening to that, it reminded me, I'm saying, of Kanye, how despite his downfall, how he's like the rapper that you don't want to tell people's on your playlist. I'm not going to use the word cancel, but I guess that's what canceled would be. But he's toxic. He's toxic now. And but I was thinking about that despite Kanye's current status, it won't take away from his albums, like his current body of work. Yeah, and one barber was like, I can tell that he had a sharp razor ready to, like, if you talk shit about Kanye, I will cut you. Oh yeah, and whatever, man. Just to say that he's got some good work. You know what? That wasn't supposed to be. Oh, that was cool. All right, so. Yeah, that's it. Let's jump into some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right. So, first bit of randomness is, do you guys know the name Dean Wither? I think that's how you spell his last name. He pronounced his last name. Wither. Wither. It's not Wider. Wither. Goddamn English language. And it's relevant to today's feature thought, but before I... okay, I'm going to... Dean Wither is one of those, what's the word I want to use? White dude / liberal / heel like debate me type guy. Like, you know, he's the guy that he'll accept any dumb response, any stupid arguments, and he'll come back with a witty response or whatnot. And like, he's one of those people that you, well, at least for me, keeps showing up on my timeline. And he's quote unquote owning MAGA or stuff like that. And he never really, like, I knew him, but I never, like, took the time to, like, who is this guy? To, like, look up his act. Like, this is the first time I looked up his name. And I'm gonna play the clip, the whole clip of, granted, it's a video clip, but the audio is just as good, of what finally got me to add him to pay attention to this guy. Spoiler alert, speechless. Homie was speechless, but I'm going to play it.
Let's say you're right. I'll grant that you're right, and he's on the list and all the things, and you're right about all the accusations you've been making. Why is it wrong that he did those things?
Are you asking me why it's wrong to rape children?
Yeah, I need you to tell me why it is wrong in your eyes
to rape children.
To do that. Yes. Do you need me to repeat it? Can you not hear me? Do you have too many talks in your ears, or what's up? Why is it wrong? Is that too hard of a question?
He's thinking. If you haven't seen the clip, he's... Sorry.
It's happening. It's actually happening.
Why don't you actually answer the question?
It's actually happening.
No, because I asked the question. Why are you?
I didn't think this one would happen. You know, we see it often. They'll say that something's wrong, and then Trump will do it, and then they'll defend it. Did that with J6. Did that with the J6 pardons. Mm. Did that with the Medicaid cuts. Did that with the SNAP cuts. Just didn't think they'd do it with child rape.
Oh, peace, Gator. Just get to the fucking point, bro.
I just didn't think they'd do it with child rape. And now we're seriously at that point where Trump's supporters are now saying that it's not wrong to rape children and asking why it is wrong to rape children.
So, yeah, I did mention that it's November 16th, and in the news is how, I guess, more of the Epstein files are coming out and more proving that, well, I mean, you know, quizás some, so is some. Birds of a feather fly, what's the expression? Birds, whatever. But Epstein, I didn't watch the whole documentary, but he's not a nice guy. Homie's a rapist. And he's buddy with Trump. Look, I'll let you read the details, but it's starting to look more and more like him and Epstein's are like had a lot in common. And my point, the reason why I'm bringing this up, I mean, shout out to Dean Withers for because he was speechless. But he makes a good point about, or he, since I was watching this, it made me realize that I need to evaluate some assumptions about human beings, or maybe human beings part of a civilized society that we consider a civilized society. I've always assumed, you know, like there's things you can assume about a human being. It's like they eat, they breathe. I was going to say they shower. Nope, that might be too tough. There's things that, and on the list of things I would have assumed out of most human beings is we're on the same page about child rape. Raping children. And again, I'm older. I'm in my 50s. I'm 50, but I'm 50s. And I'm realizing that I need to evaluate some of these assumptions. And it's not just Donald Trump or his supporters. I'm thinking of Israel. I made the mistake. I hit play on the video of, I knew he said church, a temple. Religious, like I'm assuming it was a temple, where they were celebrating these soldiers who gang raped a prisoner. They were celebrating these motherfuckers. So I'm saying I find myself realizing that I need to child rape. Look, maybe I should be grateful that I don't hate someone enough to a point where I would question. Yeah, let's use raping their children as a form of a weapon. And I'm, this is how I feel like we're around Christmas. This is like finding out there's no Santa Claus. Hey, this episode is rated R. So if your kid's listening to this, your fault. But the fact that, see, I understand the whole not demonizing people who don't agree with you. I get that. But when you're on the side of people and you have to question, okay, you know what? What's wrong? We're raping kids. I heard Megyn Kelly was like, because they're now the Trump followers are making are getting closer and closer to making an excuse for this guy. It's like, hey, well, I mean, maybe he touched them kids, but it was just one kid, and they had it coming. I'm also evaluating, and this reminds me of when the word rape culture was coming around, and I didn't understand at first, but I got it. But on one end, when it comes to child molestation, rape, sex with a minor, children who's like, I say children, I mean, sure, they're adolescents, but again, I thought we were in a civilized society where we had an understanding on this shit. Fuck, I forgot the point I was trying to make. I was going to make, damn, it's like you're going to come back in the other one. But look, I think if there's the major takeaway from this randomness is my disappointment with humanity. Sure, maybe this represents a minority, but whatever. Now I remember the point I was trying to make is, I mean, I'm starting to wonder is, on one end you got the rapist. Well, that's why I was trying to define the word rapist, but on one end you got the rapist, and then you got the racist, the rapist defender, protector. I heard a story of, you know, again, this is just me being like, I don't have the word to express what I'm trying, disappointment, angry, disbelief, like, oh, another thing to be shocked with. But there's a story about, of course, I just read the headline of, but the idea is, this dude was going around raping kids in university. Hold on, okay. Rapist. Oh, shit. High school. Was it high school? But the thing is, the judge is like, instead of letting him off. Okay, maybe I should get the details. Rapist, high school. Am I going to find it? Is this it? Outrage. Plea deal for, yep, that's the one. It's amazing. I just put in rapist and fuck it, accept cookies. Outrage amounts in Oklahoma over plea deal for rapist. The sketchy as hell. Jesse Butler, his name's Jesse Butler, 18, faced 78 years in prison, but the judge reduced sentence to community service and counseling. There was a part where his mom, where he was getting arrested, and his mom was like, don't worry, we'll get you off. Don't worry. We'll get... you know what? What I'm trying to say is it was the idea of the mother still willing to protect their child despite knowing they're a rapist. Like, how the... Holy fuck. You got a monster, but I guess, you know, mother's love, I guess, is the dad behind them on this. But, you know, I let's get back to this. I thought rapists, and I'm in front of the, maybe I should have started this show with a trigger warning. I don't like using the word great because I don't want rapists to get out to soften the blow. No, you're awful people. I don't know if I'm using the wrong term. Rapist, sex with a minor. I mean, having sex with someone who can't consent, I believe that's the definition of rape. Yeah, what I was trying to say is, I thought the rapist was just the problem. I thought the fuckers who were like, oh, in denial of being, you know, or hide the fact that they're raped. No, what's even worse or as bad, if not worse, but as bad, are the motherfuckers who defend them. God forbid these, oh shit. Sorry, I was just thinking of the episode of the recent episode of Special Victim Unit that I just watched. It touched on that. But it, imagine being someone who speaks out on rape while protecting a rapist. I'm out of words. I'm as speechless as Dean Wither right now. I'm just trying to express disgust, and I don't know, I need to cheer up. Oh, by the way, yeah, by the way, I purposely, because this is kind of a dark episode, but I purposely put a moment of positivity in the link section. So I'm just going to keep coming back to that there's a moment of positivity in a link worth checking out, and to reminder that humanity's not that bad, or there are good people out there. But yeah, man, I'm speechless, gang. I know I've said a lot, but I'm speechless. Yeah, the world we live in.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Okay, for this one, this is going to be another clip where I play it and let you, and then talk about it. And this one is in the news, and I just saw this yesterday. And I'm going to try to link, I'll also link this to today's final thought. I hope I'm building suspense. Yes, final thought about why I nearly didn't publish the last episode. So let's just start. Let me just play shit that Elon Musk's dad just said. Excuse me. Shit that Elon Musk's South African father said.
The big concern at the moment, and why I think South Africa is a big talking point in the US right now, is America in the next 20 years will become, for the first time in its history, a minority white country.
Well, that will be a very, very bad thing to happen. You want to see the US go down? Why? Oh, you don't like cars and electric cars, and you don't like technology, or what is it? Do you want to go back to the jungle, or?
If the US becomes a minority white country.
Yes.
So there's Latinas, there's blacks, there's people from all different races make up the majority, and then, you know, it could be 48% white people. Do you really think the US is doomed if it goes under?
Yes, it goes under then.
Seriously?
Yes, of course. You see, if you take South Africa, we have a small white population that projects the European culture, or what we learned from Europe.
And oppressed millions of black people.
No.
For decades.
How do you oppress? We know, we gave them work, we fed them. They grew from a tiny little group into a massive group. That's not oppression, that's feeding them. Do you understand? You only grow big if you get fed. You only start at 800 and become 50 million if you get fed. We fed them, for crying out loud. You know, enough with this nonsense.
But so you understand, because the black population was so oppressed under apartheid.
Well, we never saw this oppression you're talking about.
Jesus Christ.
You never saw it.
No, I never saw it.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
Oh, my God.
And a lot of white folk have demonstrated eloquently that they don't have no sense.
All right. All right, and one more thing is...
I didn't come here to preach to you today.
Yeah, I didn't come here to preach to you today, but I am going to say... Look, here's where I'm starting with this, right? Maybe some folks may need time to process this. I understand if you want to hit pause and come back, because I had time to digest it and make it into an idea that I wanted to share. And first of all is... the reason I shared this quote is my first, this post, Elon Musk, well, first of all, I mean, never buying a fucking Tesla. Fuck you, Elon. Die slow, crack. Oh, my God. Okay, calm down. Calm the fuck down. All right. Holy fuck. If I thought I hated Elon, I mean, he went from, no, I hate the guy. I really, oh, my God. All he did was remind me that.
We are at war.
Wow, man, I just triggered it. Okay, calm down. Okay, here's, let me, why I shared this clip. First of all is, when I played this clip, my first instinct was, I'm going to say shit that, again, it's my goddamn podcast. My mind knows what I'm about to say is not true. But the heart inside believes, a strong majority of white people believes this shit. What this white boy represents is the inner demon within white people created from slavery. After slavery, like this is now, again, I say this as someone who grew up with white people and who's seen their full humanity. I'm not even going to say that. I think a strong majority. If I'm not talking about you, consider yourself a fucking exception. We're all products of white supremacy. If it makes you feel better, there are black people who believe what he says. If it makes you feel better, if it helps you understand, I had to unprogram, unlearn the notion that, I believe the notion that if it wasn't for white people, we'd be in the jungles. We'd be in chaos. This world would be like no scientific progress, no, none of that. If it wasn't for that, like there's this belief that that's what white supremacy does. It's got white folks believing. No, it's got people believing. People who are under that spell that white people are superior or white people are human beings and everyone else are subhumans. We're like in the Bible where it says that, yeah, human beings, yeah, you guys need to, like, what's the word? Take care of the animals and whatever. Yeah, we're the animals that need to be taken care of. I'm sharing this clip because I like to refresh myself with the racism that's out there. It's how I cope in a white supremacy society. When I meet a white person, I expect to hear what Elon Musk's dad just said. I expect for that white person to harbor that kind of belief. And then when they don't, I'm like, oh, better prepare for the worst. Prepare for the worst, but expect the best. But it's my way of preparing for the worst. Because if I'm not prepared and hear that shit, I don't know what I might do. I might cry. I might snap. I might do something that gets me in prison. I don't know. But it's the way I to brace myself for the impact. I got to believe that, see that in all white people. And then not just act surprised, but being like, hey, it's a Lord, some fucked up Lord's expectation. It's a fucked up Lord expectation, but it's been the way I've coped. Now, I've somewhat shared this with some quote unquote white friends. I put it in quotation for white friends, white associates, and they took offense to it. Because white people don't like the idea of being perceived as being bad people. And I tried doing it. And then one day, you get shot. Usually it's like, it's some alcohol in the body. It's some, look, I've had many occasions to have been let down by white people I considered friends. Let down in some racist, like, I mean, said or done some racist shit that you don't come back from. There is no, okay, let's just hug it out. No, fuck of that. Fuck of that. I'm on this side of the battlefield and you're on that side. It's all for life. Anyways, so I'm trying to think of this content creator. She was like, you got beef with me? You got beef with me forever. Haitian woman. I can't forget her. I can't remember her name. Anyways, but the other reasons why I've again, this is from my experience growing up with white people. Actually, okay, let me just clarify. The experience with the white people I grew up with. Because I know we're all humans and not everyone, you know, someone snapped out of the Matrix, someone, whatever, snapped out of it. And but a strong majority believe that shit. It's in their core because they were born with this shit. They were like, I think there's this notion of, look, man, we see ourselves as conquerors and you folks are the conquered. Sure, I'll say nice things about you. I'll talk that. Yeah, we're all equal. But in the core, my ancestor made it that I could believe that I'm the conqueror. You're the conquered. That's all you are to me is a conquered people. I say this because, and again, it's for my experience with white people, a strong majority lack the kind of self-awareness, the kind of introspection that allows them to see those ugly thoughts and deal with them. What did James Baldwin said? If you can't fight what you don't face, or you can't fix what you don't face, it's like, again, a strong majority of white people were raised to believe there's no such thing as race. Don't bring up race. It's just going to make you racist. Now I'm going to flip this, right? Because I kind of feel, again, it's my goddamn podcast. I got to remind myself. Even talking about this makes me uncomfortable. Like, I feel like there's a white presence looking at me and getting ready to jump on me because I hurt their feeling. But yes, lack of self-awareness, it's how I cope with white supremacy. It's how I cope with racism, by just waiting for it, by expecting it. When I imagine a white person, this is, to me, that's, a white person is someone who believes in their whiteness and the superiority of their whiteness. I keep coming back to this joke. I've said it before. First time I saw an episode of... In the movie, excuse me, what's that shit called? The movie called Planet of the Apes. And I'm watching it and watching all these talking monkeys. And I'm like, damn, I bet that's what it's like to be a white person. Not the monkeys. Like, that's how white people see us, as talking monkeys. It's like, oh my God, you're so good at sports. Talking monkey. Oh my God, you speak so well. Talking monkey. Oh my, you're an other. Now, the thought did cross my mind, and this is a conversation I will have with my therapist, is the possibility that I might be projecting. It's deeper than just me protecting myself from racism. Maybe I'm considering the possibility, maybe I have those beliefs. When he said that there's a part of me that's like, who believes in the, I'm the conquered, I'm the conquered, they're the conquerors. Blacks down here, whites up here. I don't know. I mean, how does a healthy black person who knows thyself react when they hear shit like that? There's no school for this stuff. That's all I could say. But I do know, as a black person, you were taught at an early age, well, I mean, not an early age, but yo, reject those white supremacy notions. And if you embrace it, then, you know, you're a coon. And no black person wants to be a coon except for the coons. Yeah. Anyway, man, fuck Elon Musk. And this is what I mean when I say fuck Whitey. As a staff, I'm looking at the name Elon Musk. Oh, I hate that guy. Yo, I'll be... I grew up in the 80s during the... I was born in the 70s, raised in the 80s. But I remember apartheid, South Africa. And there was never, any time there was a article... news story, this is before the internet. Anytime anything came out from that fucking country, South Africa, it was never good. It was always some white person doing some heinous thing to black person or black people, to the point that I can't disassociate South Africa and racism. Like, you know how some folks, when they think of Alabama, Mississippi, and all of those, like, that's South Africa. And I know it's, you know, Nelson Mandela was president and everything like that, but, like, Elon Musk's dad, when I heard Elon Musk is from South Africa, I'm like, from South Africa, of course he's going to say racist shit. I used to hate article, oh my God, Elon Musk said this. Of course, I was expecting it. Do you not see what fucking country he's from? It's, maybe I should, then you got the Trevor Noahs of the world trying to, like, it's hard, man. It's, look, there is no one wrote a book, only guideline, or maybe they did, but I never read it, guidelines on how to survive racism, bottom line. And which, I'm going to end here because that link, how to survive racism, the book, there's no, I need a book on that. Because this ties into the feature thought. And before I do feature thought, I'm going to take a quick break. It's going to be another top. This is going to be another one. I nearly didn't record today. And I'll be honest with you. And the reason why I started today's episode with that Kanye quote that goes, I just needed time alone with my own thoughts. Got treasures in my mind, but couldn't open up my own vault. Because I had to dig for this topic. And right, I'm in the middle of, so let's just get straightforward. I nearly didn't publish the last episode because I wasn't feeling confident in myself. microaggression kicked my ass. All right, see, what happened is, yeah, I remember Wednesday I recorded. The day after, I remember telling myself that, yeah, you know what, I'll edit the next day. And but the next day, so that was a Thursday, that's when I was feeling, I was not feeling confident in myself. And what happened is, let's just give you a full story about on Wednesdays, is not Wednesday, last week. Last week, I had the pleasure of attending a workshop on microaggression. I think it's called something, the hidden injuries or something like that. And shout out to, that's right, now I remember, it's coming back. Shout out to the presenter. She was the one who I was talking about in the last episode. I said that she did a land acknowledgement and it came from her heart. And there was time where she was speaking, and I was telling myself, like, damn, lady, calm down. There's white folks around. You're going to get us all fired. You're going to get us all deported. Anyway, but she was real. She was fair. She was real. She presented the topic. I'm bringing this up because this is not the first talk, presentation, whatever, on microaggression I've gotten to. But it is an interesting coincidence that I attended the workshop. And I remember there was a slide she presented. I meant to check it out on what to do when you're faced with microaggression. And I wish I paid time to. I had made some time to read up on it. What I find in these presentations that's not discussed enough, or maybe it is, but I just did not pay attention or didn't notice it, is they explain what microaggression is, how to deal with it, but the side effects, the effects of microaggression on a person. Now, it bothers me that I'm part of this, I live in a time where I'm part of this generation that'll be like, oh, people are soft now, talking about microaggression. And, it's, what do you call that? It's death by a thousand cuts or a billion cuts, whatever. it takes a toll on you. I used to say, have this belief that in, sure, Canada's racism is not like South Africa. Canada's racism is not like the United States. Canada's racism, there's a high probability I may not, who knows, no, excuse me, I won't say high, but there's, compared to the U.S., I'm more likely to survive a traffic stop in Canada, God forbid, you know what I mean, knock on wood, than in the U.S. Sure, we have that. But the racism in Canada goes for your mind. It goes for your sanity. My therapist told me about a client of hers who at work, homegirl just snapped at work. Of course, she didn't give me her name, but the point is, the idea is, you know, protect your mental health. She snapped at work, and she's like cussing every, like, you know, after a series of microaggressions, she just snapped. She's like cussing everyone out, and I'm not sure if she had to be escorted out by security or if they had to call the police, but it was enough for everyone to be like, what the fuck? She just, homegirl just snapped. And I've frequently had images of being that person. Because, again, microaggression, it's death by a thousand cuts. You don't see it coming. And, yes, I'm in the middle of explaining. So, why I nearly didn't release the previous episode. Thursday, I won't go into details, but there was some microaggression. And instead of responding like a Dean Wither, I just shut down. Let me get specific. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna, an extract from my drill. This is what I wrote down. It said, I went to a workshop the other day about microaggression, the usual conversation about what they are, how they show up, how to respond. But something they didn't spend much time on is what happens when you don't respond. When the moment catches you off guard, when you freeze, when you shut down instead of pushing back. And that's the part I ended up living through the next day. Something happened to me at work. I don't need to go into the details. But I left the situation feeling exactly like that workshop described. Hit with something subtle but sharp, something I wasn't ready for. And no comeback, no pushback, nothing in the moment, just silence. And afterwards, that silence felt heavy. It made me feel weak in a way I wasn't proud of. Even though I know that reaction is human. Fuck. Okay. Excuse me. I'm going to reread that one. Okay. And afterwards, that silence felt heavy. It made me feel weak in a way I wasn't proud of, even though I know that reaction is human. And that feeling, that's what messed with me. It put me in a headspace where being vulnerable felt impossible. And that's why I didn't want to publish the episode 306. It wasn't about the episode itself. It was ready. But the idea of putting something honest out there, something that came from a more open place, felt like it would only make that feeling worse. I just wasn't in the headspace where I could share anything real. I didn't want to expose more of myself while I was sitting with that frustration. Yo, I was beating myself up that day. Subconsciously or consciously, whatever. Sometimes the hardest part isn't the incident. It's how it shuts you down afterwards. It makes you feel the things you normally enjoy. Especially the vulnerable stuff feel heavier than they should. And that's exactly where I was. Yeah. I was fucked up, man. I was fucked up. It was, so Thursday I didn't publish, and then I ended up publishing on a Friday, and I remember writing the text that I'll explain why in the next episode. But yeah, I didn't want to feel. I was already feeling weak. I didn't want to feel vulnerable. And this is a conversation I've had with my therapist about this, is how, and I meant to address it, is not knowing who I am. Like, on this podcast, I'm a different character than the character who shows up at work. The one thing me and that character have in common is the perception of white people. The reason I brought up Elon Musk's dad, because then I said that how I have this low expectation of white people, and I'm wondering if part of the reason why I froze to that microaggression is because in my mind, I'm like, there's no hope for me to reach a common ground with this motherfucker. What in my mind is, if I try to explain to this person who probably didn't mean, probably, I'm gonna give a fucking benefit of the doubt, who probably didn't mean it, or again, sake of conversation, let's pretend they didn't mean it, or they were unaware of their action. Again, sake of conversations. One of my white friends, and I mean literally friends, told me that, nah, man, dude, white people usually know what the fuck they're doing. So I'm probably giving them a little too much grace. But let's say, for the sake of conversation, didn't know what they want, didn't understand what they were saying or doing, I still can't get myself to try to explain it to them. I fucking hate these moments. Having to explain that, hey, what you just said is, because what usually happens is they get fucking defensive. It's like, how dare you associate me to Elon Musk's dad? I'm a better white person. And then they fucking berate you with how they're not racist and how their feelings are hurt and blah, blah. Like, I did not want to go through that shit again. I wanted to punch him in the fucking mouth. Do you know what I mean? This is what kills me. It's the extra tax on us black employees. It's like, dude, we're just here to do the job. And this microaggression was partly my fault, in a sense that I made the mistake of asking him a question that I knew the answer that I didn't want to hear the answer to. I think I was attempting to have a meeting of minds, and it, anyways, I'm off topic. Microaggression, I react in a way that I wish I hadn't, and that's the thing with these microaggressions. It's like, you can't win in your reaction. You can't win for losers. That's the expression. Can't lose for win, whatever. There's days where I have the energy to be like Malcolm X and being like, yo, shut the fuck up, cracker. What the fuck? Who the fuck you think you're talking to? And there's days where I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to win that fight. Like, I'll lie to myself and say, let it slide. And then, that's the difference. I'll make the mistakes or lie to myself, let it slide. And then later go home and I'm taking it out on myself. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, But yeah, the effects of the unspoken effect of microaggression. Fuck, drives me nuts. Drives me nuts.
We are at war.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Soldier. A reminder. Yeah, you know what? Okay, that's it, man. I think I'm going to wrap this up. So I hope that answers your question on why I... dearly, I think I was trying to make the point of how the one thing I am disappointed is how I allowed my work life to fuck up my personal life. I guess that's the biggest lesson learned. I had promised myself to not do that ever again, and here I am feeling defeated. But anyways, on that note, there's a moment of positivity in the lick section that you should check out. And hey, and she's white. I feel like this is my attempt of saying, I'm not racist. See, I'm putting up, posted a picture of a white woman doing something. Nah, okay. No, the real reason why I'm sharing it is because when I first started the video, watching the video, I was expecting negative, and it turned out to be something positive. And I chose to not ignore it, and I'm saying, no, I'm forcing myself to acknowledge this moment of positivity because I keep embracing the negative. So this is me trying to like turn things around, like applauding for yourself. Try to snap out of it. Yeah. And also, that moment was also a reminder of be black. Go get easy on yourself, man. Shout out to those of you who like beat yourself up like crazy and trying to get out of that habit. You know, I wish you fortune in the battles. I wish you fortune that you snap out of it. Like me. All right. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. It's my goddamn podcast. And they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. Télé-Québec! Also, represent a hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? Then stand up and clap. This episode was rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. And yeah, thank you for listening. And remember, please. Be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.